Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sisters in Christ podcast. I am Pamela Ferguson, and today my beloved sisters, Lisa Bastian and Tamara Evans, are in studio. Welcome, Lisa. Welcome, Tamara.
Thank you.
Yes, so wonderful to have you here.
Good to be here.
In today's episode, we're going to take a journey through one of the most powerful life stories in Scripture. We're diving into a theme that speaks directly to the soul, a man after God's own heart. It's a phrase often quoted, but do we truly understand what it means? It wasn't spoken about a perfect man, but about a shepherd boy turned king named David, a young man who wasn't even invited to the family's lineup when the prophet came looking for God's next anointed. But the Lord whispered something different to Samuel, the prophet. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. David's life reminds us that God isn't searching for status, titles, or perfection. He is searching for surrender, for a heart that beats in rhythm with his. During this first episode, we will explore David's early years. Not as the warrior or king, but as the worshiper in the fields, the boy who slayed giants not by might, but by faith. You'll hear about what it means to walk with God in the shadows, how obscurity often precedes elevation, and why our private devotion matters more than our public image. So if you've ever felt unseen, overlooked, or like you're still in the fields waiting on your calling, this episode is for you. It's that time now to go get your coffee, your tea, or whatever your favorite drink, and join Lisa, Tamara, and I as we delve into this powerful study on David's life and why he was considered by God a man after his own heart. Welcome again, Tamara and Lisa. When you hear this scripture, just by itself, without studying the word, a man after the heart of God, one would think, I thought, this is a perfect man. he's a good man. If you're after the heart of God, you must be a good person. But help me in discussing this. What does it truly mean to be a man after God's own heart?
Well, let me think about the scripture in 1 Samuel 13, 13 through 14. It says, and Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God, with which he commanded you. For then the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people. Why? Because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. So that scripture tells me obedience is the source of being a man after God's own heart. And we see that in Jesus. God was well pleased with him because he did the will of the Father. And so when we're looking at the qualities of the characteristics of a man after God's own heart, I think we can safely say it begins with obeying the word of God, obedience to him, and having a willing spirit. Because we can safely say that David didn't fully obey 100% as Jesus did. There were times when he faltered, but it's the willing spirit behind the obedience that I think made David the man after God's own heart.
Very well said. When I think of David and the phrase, a man after God's own heart, I first see like you said, Pamela, the shepherd boy mm-hmm. in the fields, mm-hmm. Away from the day-to-day activities of whatever was going on, like in the village mm-hmm. or at his home. He had to pull away to take care of the sheep, and it gave him time away from distractions of the world. And instead of just doing nothing, he interacted with God. He took time. He wrote. He sung songs. He came up with the Psalms and mm-hmm. poetry. And I think it took time. He used that time to commune with God. Mm-hmm. And that brings me to something you said, surrender.
Right.
Surrendering yourself. And then also the sacrifice of being the caretaker for sheep, who they say are animals who really need a lot of guidance and care and attention. So his focus was hardly ever on himself. It was mm-hmm. he communed with God to fill him, and then he took care of the sheep by sacrificing himself. And that's what I think when I think a man after God's own heart. It's not what I want. It's not arrogance like we did see in Saul. It's whatever your will is, God. And there's no perfect person. Like Jesus was perfect because Jesus was God. So we expect David to not be perfect, but his heart was attached to God and he communed with God constantly. Mm-hmm. And it outflowed in the poetic psalms, the songs, the harp playing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like that. I agree. It's obedience mm-hmm. and that devotion to God. And when you compare it to Saul, Saul was more concerned about the appearance, mm-hmm. his yeah. title, his position. Whereas David wanted to get closer to God. He just mm-hmm. wanted to do what God had called him to do. And sometimes that's, you know, life is like that. Sometimes we get a position and that becomes more important than our walk mm-hmm. with God. We allow that position to put us in a place where we worship this position and forget the person who blessed us with this position. And that's what I see with Saul. He was more concerned about his appearance. And so disobeying God was not an issue for him. He tried to justify it.
I think the power of the position got ahead of him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also for me, David was a worshiper. You talk about the harp. He worshiped. And I don't know. I look in real terms today, right? We see more women visually as worshipers, like a woman would pour out to God. And maybe they just do it differently, but the man tend to be more reserved.
Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, yeah, that's true. But when you say the harp, we'll think of the band players, a lot of the music, people who make the music. A lot of them are men as well. We have a lot of men writing songs. We have a lot of men playing the drums, keyboards, pianos, being music ministers. Mm-hmm. So they may not appear to be worshiping in the mm-hmm. way that we tend to see it, but in their own way. Mm-hmm. They're creating an atmosphere for worship. In that sense, it's also worship.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like what Jesus told the woman at the well. He said, you know, it's not going to be here or Jerusalem, but a true worshiper will worship in spirit and in truth. Mm-hmm. So it's not really a matter of what we are doing on the outside that can be observed by others, but the intent of the heart. And it's difficult to convey that because when Hannah prayed, she was in worship in her prayer, but she was mumbling, you know, really couldn't. In fact,
he thought she was drunk.
He thought she was drunk. Mm-hmm. And so really, it starts from within. Mm-hmm. And it starts with knowing who your God is. And I believe David got it. Because if we look at a worshiper and we look through the Psalms and we read them and see his words and internalize them, we can tell they came from a heart of someone who knew their God.
That's right.
And that's so important, you know, Tamara, because throughout this study, we will get to the sin that David committed. Mm-hmm. But that was visible. Mm-hmm. People could see that. But yet, after all of that, God said he was a man after his own heart, which meant only God could judge that.
And he said that before he did. Mm-hmm. Isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. He knew all about David, his end from his beginning. Mm-hmm. And before he was anointed, mm-hmm. he said the words, I have chosen a man after my own heart. And so that in itself tells us that it's not where you begin. It's not what you do on the journey, but it's how you, in what you're doing, in some way, connect with your God, commune with your God, regroup with your God.
On this beginning, then, let's discuss how David's humble beginning as a shepherd boy reflect God's pattern of using the overlooked to fulfill his purpose.
I think those the times of obscurity, the times away from the distractions of the world was God's time to use to prepare David's heart. And I think the responsibility as well of taking care of these animals, making sure they're fed, making sure they get water, guide them to the greener grass and protect them from the wild animals that wanted to eat them. I think a lot of that prepared him for the work of being a king, because essentially that's what a king ends up doing for his subjects.
I like the fact of David came from a lineage of people who honored God.
Mm-hmm. True.
When you think about Ruth, Naomi, Boaz, Obed, Jesse, these were people who, Rahab,
mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. The unlikely.
Unlikely. Yes. Mm-hmm. But in some way, they fed God. Rahab fed God and saved her entire family. And down the line, there was Boaz, mm-hmm. who came in contact with Ruth, had Obed, had Jesse. So in some way, his family dynamics, his brought up seed, we would mm-hmm. say, mm-hmm. had to shape to whom he understood this God to be.
True.
And so in my view, in his distance, being a shepherd boy, dealing with the sheep, that same God who he knew his family worship, he came to know in a personal way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. so true.
And that made a difference.
Yeah. And throughout the Bible, like you mentioned, God tend to use the least likely mm-hmm. to show his power and to show his strength. And it's so interesting. Here, the man of God goes to Jesse, because he came to seek out the next king. And his father didn't even, David's father didn't even think he was qualified. He didn't even invite him.
No.
You can't be meeting that one, right? And they go to them. This one was handsome. This one looked the part.
Mm-hmm. Said no. Strong. This one's tall.
And I especially like what God whispered to Samuel. Man looked at the outward appearance, but God searches
the heart.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important. A lot of times in life, we rush for position. We think we ought to be out front because that's how we know whether God is using us. If nobody comes to us and say you're doing a good job, you know, we could get discouraged. Mm-hmm. But it's those same times behind the scenes in obscurity when we are truly serving God in spirit and in truth that he prepares us for what is ahead. And that's what he did with David. And I love that. I love how he just kept him. He was behind the scenes. And then nobody even, it's like the making of a wonderful movie.
which they did.
Nobody even thought about just the shepherd boy.
Yeah.
But in all of what he was doing, God was working in and through him to be the next king. So I think it's so encouraging for us as we go through life, when we feel like, what am I here for? Why am I here, God? It's like, I'm not doing anything. What do you call me here for? Mm-hmm. But I think we just have to be patient. We just have to commit to devotion to him mm-hmm. because he is working something out.
Yes, indeed.
I think serving mm-hmm. where you are mm-hmm. and being content in that David knew his assignment was taking care of the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what he did. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says he was strategizing on becoming king and pushing himself in certain places so he can be seen, so he can orchestrate his way into the kingdom. That wasn't a part of the plan. And so often we do that. And I really think it's a trap from the enemy that we sit and we try to find a way, whether it's on our jobs or even in the church. Mm-hmm. And so much of it happens in the church where in our own fleshly way for selfish ambition and so forth, we try to maneuver and orchestrate our own ends using our own means. And it's so far off from how God works, you know. And David is showing us right where he was planted.
Mm-hmm.
He served until his time came.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very, very good point. Because David didn't become king immediately after he was anointed either. So there's a lot of patience involved. It's a lot of continuing to be diligent, even in the waiting time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't happening then because you could look and say, but God, you promised I was going to be king. What's happening? Why am I still doing this thing? Why? But no, he didn't complain. Like you said, he continued on diligently in what he was doing at the time. And it's all part of the preparation.
Yep. And I like the part about the humility because he was looking after the animals.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost as if he was an outcast. It's like they put him there to hide him, not to be a part of the other gathering with the family. So he was there, could feel lonely that God, you know, nobody is here with me. Mm-hmm. All of my brothers, the other ones are out to war and they're relied upon. But he was there just looking after the sheep.
He probably had that last child syndrome.
Yeah.
You know, the last child seems to be the one aloof from the older ones, maybe several years difference between them and so different than the others. And personality-wise and what they could have gotten away with compared to the others. And so he, in fact, when you think about his father giving him that level of responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and we see different aspects of even when they were at war with the Philistines and he had to go to take food and so forth to his brothers, he followed his father's instruction.
Mm-hmm.
And the brothers were like, now, what you here for? You know, you like, and you know you like excitement. You know, so it's like even in seeing his obedience to his dad and following those instructions, being responsible. And then Lisa mentioned him being anointed, but still having the patience to wait. And in his waiting, you really don't have a better, other than Jesus himself, example of someone who patiently waited on the Lord and served the king that was trying to kill him.
Yeah. His character was developed a lot in that time
It is astounding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You and many times Saul, through the book of 1 Samuel, Saul attempted to kill him.
Yeah.
And he faithfully served until he ran for his life. And even when he was in the same cave as the man,
he didn't
touch God anointed. Mm-hmm. It's the fear of God, I believe, that caused him to reverence Saul and also wait patiently for the fulfillment of the word.
Which is why God said he was a man after his own heart. When we look through the book of Psalms, we see David's worship. But what can we learn from David's relationship with God in the book of Psalms about emotional honesty in our walk with God? We look to the book, David cried, David confessed, David praised, David questioned. All of that went on. What can we as believers and men in particular learn about emotional honesty in our, and how important is it? Is it even important in our walk with God?
Yeah, it's important.
It is definitely important.
It's important. David, and we get to see him in all his vulnerabilities. A man who cried out to God and worshiped openly. When his first son passed away by Bathsheba, before he passed, he was gravely ill, the son. And he fasted and prayed for 7 days, I think it was. And when the word came that his son had passed, he got up and he ate. And then he worshiped. Here was a man who was not afraid to show his weaknesses in the front of those who were not only near and dear to him in worship and in prayer, because we also see when the ark of the Lord was going up, he danced in such a way until his wife said, "You, what are you dance vulgarly like this in the front of all the maidens?" So his act of worship was between him and God. Yeah. He didn't worry who was to the left or who was to the right.
Yeah.
He didn't care where he was, in a cave, in the fields with sheep, wherever he was. He knew how to commune and connect with his God. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is, even as a woman, because you were talking about how women are so, you know, we can get to a place to worship like that, too. The more so men, you may consider reserved.
Right.
But David showed.
He's expressive.
Anywhere.
In his worship.
Anytime. Not only in the sanctuary, you can worship God.
Yeah. Yeah. Very true. Mm-hmm. Okay. The word there is vulnerability as well.
Vulnerability. Yes. Mm-hmm. Emotional honesty. I think that's very important. Mm-hmm. Sometimes as friends in this room, I may not be able to be as emotionally honest with you, Lisa or Tamara. Maybe Lisa came in here with this lovely dress. I mean, it's just, ooh, it's lovely. And I'm jealous. Mm-hmm. It's in my heart. Oh, she, that looks so good on her. Why that looks so good on her? Or maybe Tamara, you have a marriage that just seemed to be so good. And I sit and I'm upset.
But smiling on the outside.
Yeah. Eh? Mm-hmm. I look good. Yeah, but I'm like, oh, why isn't my marriage like that? Right? Or a man may say, someone has a wife who's doing these things, but my wife, she wouldn't even cook for me on a Sunday. It's difficult to tell another person those deep feelings. But it's so important to be honest. Emotionally honest with God, which is what David did. Mm-hmm. He poured his heart out to God. When he was going up against the Philistines, he went and said, "Should I go up against these people?" And God said, "Yes, I have delivered them into your hands." And I had to ask him again, because the man came and the man told him, "Boy, we went to those other ones and you talking about this one, we afraid." Mm-hmm. So he went to him again. "Should I go up against these people?" And God said, "Yes, I have already delivered them into your hand." I think emotional honesty is so important. And if it's difficult to share with your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, I say share it with God.
Share it with God first.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because he welcomes it.
And he can wants handle it.
You. Yeah. And he can help you to deal with it. So I think that emotional honesty that David displayed is just so important for us in our daily walk. That's because true. David, we don't have it all together. We do not have it all together. And if we try to walk around like we do, we can get ourselves in problems. So I say, share it. Whatever you're feeling, anger, hate, grudge, envy, jealousy, God wants our heart. Go to him and tell him you're having these feelings and you don't want it. So help me, Father, to be delivered from them.
Very true.
David wrote about it in Psalm 51:6. You desire truth in the inward part. So he wants us to be authentic. The Lord wants us to be open. Man, he didn't know everything. He didn't make no sense trying to hide. But when we're authentic, we're connecting with him on what truly is.
Yeah.
We're revealing our own selves to ourselves because he already knows. And so when we could confess that in a way to him in our prayers and in communion with him, then in all humility, grace can be extended.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why even today, what
what David did then still helps us now in the Psalms. Mm-hmm. And what you said about somebody saying, oh, God already knows, a part of our repentance comes through the confession. And the confession isn't to help God, it's to help us. It's for us.
Yeah.
That's what moves our heart toward.
Yeah. And then healing. We receive the grace and the mercy to help us in the time of need. Yeah. You want grace and you want mercy. Mm-hmm. Then he said, come to my throne boldly to receive it. But if you don't come to the throne, how are you going to expect to receive what he said he will give you only if you come boldly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He said he wants our heart, not rent our clothes, but he wants our heart. As we wrap up, let's discuss what David's life teaches us about waiting on God's timing.
I think David's life teaches us in the waiting aspect to still be busy about the service and the serving while we wait. Waiting doesn't mean to do nothing. You know, waiting means wherever God has us, we still have to serve. We still have to worship. We still have to, and Jesus did it perfectly. Even on his way to the cross, he was still doing. He was still forgiving. He was still comforting. He was still making sure his mother's needs was taken care of. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that in a way gives us a full picture of wherever we are, do the work of God. Mm-hmm. If you're in PMH and you're a believer, you're coherent, there has to be a nurse, a doctor, someone who's tending to you that you can impart to. If you're a teacher, there's a student that you can impart to. If you're working in the church, there are people you can serve until. So don't sit still. Mm-hmm. Keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Do what's in front of you. Do what's needed, necessary. Take care of who's under your responsibility.
Yeah, waiting teaches us trust, humility, and reliance on God. No shortcuts.
No.
When you know that God is in control, then you wait. And while you're waiting, you do what he called you to do. Do it willingly and do it with a good heart.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Tamara closes out in prayer, please.
Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful that you've brought us here today to discuss a man after your own heart. And in discussing, didn't our own hearts burn within us? To recognize obedience is better than sacrifice. And so, Lord, we are praying for obedient hearts to follow after your word, willing spirits, Lord, to follow through that which you have assigned us to do. And Lord, at the end of the day, in thought, word, and deed, may we bring honor and glory to your name. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Lisa. Thank you so much, Tamara. I just want to remind our audience that God is not looking for the most qualified or the loudest or most polished. He's looking for the most surrendered. David didn't have it all together, but his heart leaned towards God. Be encouraged. Until next time.
Thank you.
Continue to trust in God.
Amen.